Turn to the book of Mark, please, the 8th chapter, 34th verse, page 1056 in your Scofield Bible. Be reading verses 34 through 38. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. The text verses being the 37th and the 38th verse. Read these five verses responsively, all of us joining together on the 37th and 38th verses. Let's stand, please. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And let's pray. Father, we thank thee for thy graciousness, for your help, for your blessing in our lives, for all that you mean to us. And you've certainly been good to us this day. Thank you for every good report. But may we, of course, know of good reports concerning this service. Do good things, mighty things, wonderful things in our midst tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, bless, I pray, this meeting tonight. May I have the attention of all the people, please. And may you have my undivided attention as we together are co-laborers in the delivery of this message. Amen. We got it all cattywampus somehow. We've deteriorated. Our set of values is all out of whack. Our priorities are misplaced. The institution that Jesus started for the carrying of the gospel of Christ and the evangelization of the whole world has become almost everything but that institution. I mean, you just pick up the paper someday and just read. Here's a church having a bazaar. I mean, a church hadn't gotten the business having a bazaar. I mean, to me, that's bizarre. And that's silly. Made a paper one day, and it said that the church hat-making club was going to meet. Now, I'm not against hats. I'm for hats. But not the church's business to go in a hat-making business. That's not the church's business. Over here in Chicago, a so-called church has a day a year when they bless dogs. I mean, they bring old Fido and sprinkle that little rascal. There's all kinds of possibilities. I mean, I bet you that if Fido got every sin absolved, I bet you committed some more before he left the building. And I mean, isn't that silly? Can you believe what's going on in the name of the church today? And the truth is, we've just lost all sense of direction. I got a letter this week from a young person that said, a father, and on behalf of his children and his wife, and he said, preacher, I belong to the denomination, and it's a famous old line denomination that years ago had camp meetings and had men such like his old Uncle Bud Robinson preaching and so forth, and said, this fellow said to me, he said, in our church, he said, the Bible means less and less all the time. And he said, we get less and less belief in the Bible all the time. And the reason is, we've lost our sense of values and our set of values. The Lord Jesus said, for what should it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Now that means that the soul of one person is of more value than the entire world. I mean the entire world. Now I'm saying, if that be the case, then reckon we ought not to put that first. I was out visiting one time and knocked on the door. Lady came to the door and I told her who I was and she said, oh, I need a reverend. Well, that bothers me if they call me reverend to start off with. And I need a reverend. And I said, what is it? Oh, she said, one of the greatest heartbreaks of my life just took place. I said, oh, what is it? She said, my parakeet just died. I mean, I performed the last rites. But I mean, now, I'm not against parakeets. Have a couple of parakeets if you want to. I don't care. I'm not against them. But I tell you what, go around crying because there's a dead bird somewhere, and you've got about 1,000 dead people in Lebanon just got shot merciless the other day. I mean, there's some, and then you don't shed one tear about those. There's something wrong. I mean, to cry about a dead bird, a dead parakeet, when you got a husband in bed with you that's on his way to hell, never cry about that. There's something awful wrong. Jesus said, yeah, it gained the whole world. It won't profit you. You gain the whole world and lose your own soul. For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, what does the Bible mean when it says, gain the whole world? What is the world? You won't have to turn to it, but I'll read it to you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, now you have it here. Here is all that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now it says right there, all that is in the world. Everything in this world is wrapped up in those three statements. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The Bible says that is not of the Father. And the Bible says that one soul, I'm talking about one little snotty nose bus kid. I was up in Canada preaching. Oh, it's been a few years ago. And we're talking about the bus ministry. And one big old guy got up and, you know, sparkled his diamonds on his lapel and his tie tack. And he said, well, he said, in Canada, we just don't care about the snotty nose bus kid. But he just struck me wrong. And I said, buddy, I'd rather have one snotty nose than your snooty nose. And I'm saying that somehow one little snotty-nosed bus kid, I mean, the kid's got a frog in his pocket and puts it in the teacher's purse. I'm talking about one little snotty-nosed bus kid that smells, hadn't had a bath in a week, and comes out of the ghetto, and his dad doesn't care about him, and his mama leaves him alone, and he gets on a bus and rides out here and gets a knife and digs in a pew a little bit, and messes up the carpet and is hard to corral. The Bible said one soul of one little snotty-nosed bus kid like that is of more value than the whole world put together. What should it profit a man? He gained the whole world and lose his own soul. One of these mission men up here, one of them, I mean the one that's the farthest from God. I mean the one that's been so much on dope he can hardly think rationally. I mean the one who's the least helpful to society. I mean the one who is the deepest in sin. That one mission man up there, his soul is more important than the whole world put together. And so, Jesus said, what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Now, what is the world? If the Bible said, all that is in the world. Now, the first thing that's in the world is the lust of the flesh. The second thing is the lust of the eye. And the third thing is the pride of life. Now, what are these three things? In the first place, the lust of the flesh. Now, that means everything that the flesh has ever wanted. It doesn't mean just a sexual, immoral lust. It means everything that your flesh has ever wanted that's a part of the world. Now, you just think everything you've ever wanted. I'm talking about a piece of good old chocolate pie with meringue just brown a little bit on the top. I mean, my body's wanted that. In fact, my body's wanted more stuff in the last 48 hours
than it's wanted since my last birthday. I got one note with a whole box of calories, and it said, if Mr. Character gives you trouble, kick him out. I mean, everything, my body, everyone, I'm talking about that banana split with the banana, and then on top of the bananas in the middle, you got a big old scoop of strawberry ice cream, and then a scoop of banana nut ice cream, and then a scoop of chocolate nut ice cream, and then you got some meringue, stay out of my preaching. Whipped cream on the top, and then a cherry on that whipped cream. Add that. I mean, everything your body has ever lusted for is a part of the world. Secondly, the lust of the eye. Not only everything your body has ever lusted for and said, I want, but everything your eye has ever seen that you wanted. I'm talking about that new Cadillac car that's got a built-in washing machine dishwasher in the back seat. I'm talking about that washing machine that washes your clothes and hangs them out and irons them for you at the same time. I'm talking about that dishwasher that if a dish breaks, it puts it back together and mends it. I'm talking about that typewriter that erases all your mistakes and types it in. You just think the thoughts and it'll type it up for you. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about the new house you wanted. I'm talking about the new garment you wanted. I'm talking about the new diamond ring you wanted. I'm talking about everything your eye has ever seen that you wanted. The Bible said that's a part of the world. So over here in this little bundle, let's put everything your body has ever hungered for, every appetite you've ever had, every desire the body's ever had, everything the body's ever said, I'd like to do. Every time you'd like to rest, every time you'd like to commit immorality, every time you'd like to eat, every time you'd like to sleep, everything. And then over here, we have this little bundle of things called the lust of the eye. Everything that living room suit you wanted, and the bedroom suit you wanted, and the sofa that you wanted, and the musical house that you wanted, and the Hereford cattle that you wanted, and the big farm that you wanted, and the meadow that you wanted, and the swimming pool that you wanted, and just go downtown and look at it. Did you ever look in a Sears Nova catalog? I have wanted everything in a Sears Nova catalog. Everything. But I'm saying that's the lust of the eye. Now, that's the second part of the world. First part, you say that what should profit a man if he gained the whole world, lose his own soul? The first part of that is everything your body has ever wanted. And the second part of that is everything that your eye has ever seen that it made you want. And the third part says the pride of life. Now, what's that? That's everything you ever wanted to be. Now, the body, follow me carefully, the lust of the body, that's everything you ever wanted to do. And the lust of the eye, that's everything you ever wanted to have. And the pride of life is everything you ever wanted to be. Now you put this, all you've wanted to do over here, and all you've wanted to have over here, and all you've wanted to be over here, and the Bible says, everything your body has ever wanted, if you had it, and everything your eyes have ever seen that you wanted, if you had it, and everything you've ever wanted to be, that you wanted to be if you became it, all those all packaged together would not be as important as one little snotty-nosed bus kid with a never-dying soul. For what should it profit a man if he gained the whole world? What is the world? The lust of the flesh. That's what I want to do. And the lust of the eye, that's what I want to have. And the pride of life, that's what I want to be. I'm saying it's time the Church of Jesus Christ got our priorities in focus. I'm saying it's time we stop to realize that the biggest thing in this world is the soul of man. It's about time some of you folks not prepared to die stop and realize it's more important you die and go to heaven than it is that you get a new car or get some whiskey or go to your disco or listen to your rock and roll music. I'm simply saying whatever it is that you trade for your soul, how foolish you are. What's it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Add it all together. It's not worth one mission man. We set a little box and watch General Hospital or Edge of Night or Secret Storm. and sit there and cry over those harlots and whoremongers who are performing in your bedroom and going to bed with each other in your bedroom and sit there and cry over those things. And we think, honestly, we're going to die if it doesn't turn out like we think it ought to turn out. And the truth is the souls of men are perishing without God. And my Bible said, what should it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? I'm saying, take the gold of Africa. Add to that the diamonds of Israel. And add to that the oil of Iran and Texas. Add to that the coal of Kentucky. And add to that the steel of Pennsylvania. And add to that the ivory of Alaska. And add to that the cedars of Lebanon. And add to that the lakes of Minnesota. And add to that the vineyards of California. And add to that the riches of the Dead Sea. Add it all up. And put it, and draw your line. And put the sum total. And it is not as important to God Almighty. And it's not as valuable to you or God as the soul of one single person who needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And throw in the Cathedral of Notre Dame. And then toss in the Taj Mahal. And then toss in St. Peter's Basilica. And then throw in the Washington Monument. And then add to that the Lincoln Memorial. And then Red Square. And the Great Wall of China. And the White House. And the United Nations Building. And Westminster Abbey, and the Astrodome, and Madison Square Garden, and the Sears Tower, and the Pentagon, and the Empire State Building, and the Tower of London, and the House of Parliament, and the Buckingham Palace, and the Golden Gate Bridge, and the Arch of St. Louis, and the Arch of Triumph, and the Parthenon, and the Pyramids, and the Sphinx, and the Alamo, and Solomon's Temple, and the Dome of the Rock, and the Sistine Chapel, and the Crystal Cathedral, add them all together! And you will not have anything as valuable as that one little snotty-nosed kid I saw chasing a girl off a bus today out in the alley. I'm saying it's time that God's people stop to realize that more than the whole world is the value of one never-dying soul in whose breast beats eternity and whose eternity will be hell without God unless he comes to Christ and is born of the Spirit of God. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? What should it profit a man if he has all the gold of Africa and lose his own soul? What should it profit a man if he has all the diamonds of Israel and loses his own soul? What should it profit a man if he has all the oil of the Middle East and loses his own soul? What should it profit a man if he has the cedars of Lebanon and loses his own soul? What should it profit a man if he has the oil of Texas and loses his own soul? I don't care what it is. That thing that keeps your soul from God and that keeps your never-dying soul from being born of the Spirit of God, get rid of it. Don't sell out like Judas Iscariot did for 30 paltry pieces of silver. Don't sell out like Esau did for just a birthright or a bowl of soup. Sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. I'm saying whatever it costs you to get to heaven. Now, don't understand me. Salvation is not bought. But there's sometimes things that stay in our way that keep us from putting our faith in Christ, whatever it is. A job, money, prestige, import. Listen. I have had famous people tell me, if I knelt on my knees and admitted as I was a sinner, it would hurt my national image. I won't call his name, but one of the five most famous movie stars in the history of our country. I rode with him on an airplane that landed at Midway Airport in Chicago several years ago. I walked up to him and called him by his first name because he's well known by his first name. He's one of the five outstanding actors in America. And I said, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? And he said, no, I don't. And I said, do you know you're a sinner? He said, yes, I do. But he said, if I were to confess my sins, he said it would ruin my national image. And I said to him, and I said to you, ruin your national image to get your soul in heaven. Ruin your national image to forsake the fires and torments of hell. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? And add to that the crown jewel. And add to that the Mona Lisa. And throw in Michelangelo's Last Judgment. And throw in the works of Leonardo da Vinci. And the paintings of Raphael. And the writings of Shakespeare. And the statue of Venice. And the wealth of Fort Knox, and the riches of H.L. Hunt, and J. Paul Getty, and Maxie Jarman, and the Rockefeller Estate, and the Carnegie Millions, and the Kennedy Fortune, and Onassis Empire, and W. Clement Stone's wealth, and the Liberty Bell and Eiffel Tower, throw them all in. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life and all that's in the world. Every bit of gold, every piece of silver, every sparkling diamond, every dollar bill, every $100 bill, everything exchanged is money, every house, all the property, all the land, all the inheritance, all the jewels, all the riches, all the money, all the checkbooks, all the balance and check accounts, all the cars, all the Cadillacs and Rolls Royces, add them all together, and you will not have anything as near as important as the soul of one never-dying person. And add to that, Los Angeles Dodgers, New York Yankees, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Boston Celtics, the Chicago Symphony, and add to that the New York Philharmonic, and the Lyric Opera, and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and the Green Beret, and the Russian Bear, and the Grand Ole Opry, and Disneyland, and Disney World, and the World's Fair, and the World Series, and the Super Bowl, and the Stanley Cup, and the Rose Bowl, and the NFL, and the NBA, and the CIO, and the AFL, and the ABC, and the CBS, and the NBC, and the FBI, and the FHA, and the HUD, and the WGN, and the WOR, and the CBC, and the NOW, and the HEW, and the WPA, and the WLS, and the NHL, and the NRA, and the UHF, and the UFO, and the WMS, and the DDT, and the PhD, and the BVDs. Add them all together! Add them all together! And all of them together are not worth the value of one soul! One person who 10,000 years from now will burn in hell or walk the golden streets with Jesus. One person who has beating in his breast. Listen, that little baby, the last one that said it, that cried and entered this world in St. Margaret's Hospital tonight. The last one! There beats in that little body a never-dying soul. God said, created man from his rib, north side, he took rib and made woman. The Bible says, and God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. And when a little baby is born at a hospital or wherever he's born, there beats a soul in that little breast that will never die. We play too much. We peddle too much. We vacation too much. I'm not against vacations. You ought to have one every 10 to 15 years. I'm not against them. Though our grandparents got along very well without them. You'd almost think that if a kid grows up without a vacation, you almost think that the poor little kid's been abandoned by his parents and the welfare department will take the kid over. Let me tell you something. Memorizing one chapter in this Bible is more important to a kid than all the vacations, the Disney World, Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, all the rest of them. I'm not against vacation, but I'm saying this. It's time the Church of Jesus Christ realized that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. All across this country, I find churches, fundamental churches, churches where pastors used to come to pastor school. All of a sudden, these churches that are interested in bus routes and Sunday school attendance and baptism and conversion. And I'm glad that some preachers are hearing me on tape tonight. These tapes will go around this world. And I'm glad some of these preachers will hear me on tape. And I go to these same churches. And these churches, they used to say, boy, thank God we had broke our all-time attendance record yesterday. Or thank God we had 65 saved and 32 baptized. Now, these same fellows say, our offerings are better than they've ever been before. And bus routes all across this country are being disbanded. I had a question-and-answer session, and a little preacher stood up and he said, Dr. Hyle, he said, now that the gasoline is expensive. And I said, he said, do you still have your bus ministry? I said, yes, sir, bless God. We didn't get in the bus ministry because gasoline was cheap. We got in it because souls are going to hell. But you say for the high, little old bus kids, Aren't you interested in getting the rich people saved? Bring them on down here. Yeah, but I want to tell you something. You're playing. A rich man's soul is as important as the poorest kid in Chicago. But the poorest kid in Chicago, his soul is as important as a rich man's soul, too. We've gotten so away from it. Listen, God pity the day when the First Baptist Church of Hammond gets used and accustomed to seeing this altar filled with sinners. That's what we're here for. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. People say, yeah, I know. 99 safely lay. That song's wrong. There weren't 99 that safely lay. Said that the one was out in the fields away, and the shepherd went out and got the one and left the 99 in the fold. No, the shepherd didn't leave the 99 in the fold. The Bible says the shepherd left the 99 in the wilderness. He said there's one lost. One lost. And my Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels more over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. And we dedicate dogs. And we dress up, some churches nowadays, dress up, preach with this gown, look like a Halloween masquerade party. I was in a room the other day, watching on television, wee hours of the morning, about 4:30 in the morning, watching Princess Grace funeral service. Why, you'd think it was a Halloween party. Won't you blow out those candles? Won't you get your pair of britches on? Go soul winning. Add to that the Rocky Mountains, Trail Ridge Road, and throw in the Redwoods, and the lakes of Minnesota, and Royal Gorge, and Stone Mountain, and Pikes Peak, and Niagara Falls, and Yellowstone National Park, and the Grand Canyon, and Salt Lake, and Mount Everest, and the Rock of Gibraltar, and Diamond Head, and Puget Sound, and Manhattan Island, and the Florida Keys. And you still have not gotten anywhere near the value of a soul of one living per person. Add that to all the honor, the pride of life, the Queen of England, the President of the United States, Congressional Medal of Honor, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Miss America, All-American, Pope, Prime Minister, Most Valuable Player, Cy Young Award, Nobel Peace Prize, Chancellor, Heavyweight Champion, add it all up! All of those things, if you could be all those things together, if you could become the most valuable player in the Super Bowl, and the most valuable player in the American Baseball League, and if you became the heavyweight champion of the world, and if you won the Nobel Peace Prize, and then you ran for president and became president of the United States, and then you became Prime Minister of England, and then by some twist of fortune you became the Pope, I'm saying all those added together in the mind and economy of God, not as important as one little sinner that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And add to that, Eastern Airlines, Hilton Hotels, throw in IT&T, Ford Motor Company, Texas Instruments, Chrysler, GMC, Inland Steel, Sears and Roebuck, McDonnell Douglas, Montgomery Ward, Saks Fifth Avenue, Boeing Aircraft, United Airlines, Standard Oil, Chase Manhattan, American Airlines, Santa Fe Railroad, Wall Street Journal, Kmart, Amtrak, Shell Oil, Youngstown Steel, Tennessee Valley Authority, and Century 21. And you still haven't gotten anything that can compare to the importance of one soul. About time some of you ladies have unsaved husbands. Cried about it. About time some of you folks had children unsaved, got burdened about it. I wish I could get you as burdened about your soul to your child as I can the mind of your child. I know people that will complain to teachers, and I'm not saying you shouldn't if you have a case. But I'm saying I know people that will complain because a teacher doesn't teach algebra properly and complain and throw a fit. And I think that's okay. But that same person will take their child to a church where an imposter stands up who doesn't even believe this book is the Word of God, who denies the virgin birth, denies the blood atonement, denies the new birth, and sit there with their children beside them in a church where some pagan preacher preaches and not have one complaint. What you ought to be doing is rising up and saying, you tell my children how to go to heaven when they die and how to get born again. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? I call this church tonight. I call us to the front line. Fall program's about to start. It's time for us to rouse then, soldiers. Rally round the banner. Onward, forward. Pass the word along. Steady, ready, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne. How the National Football League. Our Sundays are ruined because of the NFL. Bless your little pea-picking heart. It has been such a relief today not to have to even think about the ponderous, pitiful, putrid plight of the Chicago Bears. It's been a wonderful Sunday. NFL. I love sport. But I'll guarantee you one thing. It's going to take a heap more than NFL going on strike to make my Sundays unhappy. I'll guarantee you for that. Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on Chicago Bears. Not me, buddy. As far as I'm concerned, that's a part of the pride of life. Lust of the eyes. As far as I'm concerned, it's all the world except the Dallas Cowboys. Look at that silly. All disturbed about where some big goons are going to get $250,000 or $500,000. I'd like to see them get $2.98 for us to get more excited. Listen. To get more excited about some fella, all he does is chase a blown up dead pig. All done. Kill a pig, blow him back up, and lace him. And throw him around and kick him. And he squirts all over the field, and you get him, and he squirts out, and you fight over who gets him and covers him and hand him off. Makes that poor little thing nervous. Then you take up that little pig, bone up, and kick him across the pasture through some plumbing down at the end of the field. The whole country goes goo-goo-eyed. All National Football League team. I'm talking about San Francisco 49ers. I'm talking about the Los Angeles Rams. I'm talking about the Denver Broncos. I'm talking about the Seattle Supersonics, or Mariners, or stay out of my preaching. And I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys. I'm talking about the Chicago Bears. I'm talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm talking about Cleveland Browns. I'm talking about Cincinnati Bengals. I'm talking about New York Giants. I'm talking about the New York Jets. I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm talking about boy, when you get preaching, the devil gets after you. You know it. I'm talking about the Houston Oilers. I'm talking about the Miami Dolphins. I'm talking about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm saying, add to that the New York Yankees and Kansas City Chiefs and Kansas City, whatever they are. Add to that Milwaukee Brewers and Chicago White Sox and Chicago Cubs. And add to that the Philadelphia Phillies. And add to that the Pittsburgh Pirates. And add to that the Houston Astros. And add to that the Los Angeles Dodgers. And add to that the Los Angeles Angels. And Anaheim, and add to that the whole shooting match of the Professional Baseball League, and add to that the NBA, add the Philadelphia 76ers, the Boston Celtics, and Chicago Bulls, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Los Angeles something else, and the Phoenix Suns, and the Utah Jazz. Add it all up! And then take Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and throw them in, and Tom Watson. And then take Christy Everett Wood and throw her in. And then take Jimmy Connors and take that Swede, I've forgotten his name all of a sudden. And take him and take a little hot-tempered little John McEnroe. And while you're at it, go ahead and take the women golfers and throw them in. And take the National Hockey League and put Bobby Hull in there. And this big shot up here in Montreal, put him in there. Put them all in a package. And then put Muhammad Ali and Jerry, this guy that fought this other guy that beat the guy he fought. Take him and all of them. Take it all. Then take the Rose Bowl. Then take the Cotton Bowl. Then take Yankee Stadium. Then take the Orange Bowl. Then take the Sugar Bowl. Then take the Los Angeles Coliseum. And then take Wrigley Field. Then take Comiskey Park. Then take the Astrodome and the Superdome and the Minneapolis Dome and the Seattle Dome. Take it all. After you've done done that, take all the baseball bats and all the balls and all the footballs and all the football helmets and shoulder pads and take all the tennis rackets and golf clubs and golf balls, and then take all your golf clubs in America and all your country clubs and tennis clubs and baseball leagues and softball leagues, add them all up, put them in a package, all of them together. Well, not as important as one little child that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. What's it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Add to that Eastern Airlines. Throw in Hilton Hotels. All of them. Add to that what Jesus did for one soul. For one soul, Jesus promised in the foreordinate counts of eternity he'd come to earth. For one soul, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The angel's announcement to Mary was for one soul. For one soul, the swaddling clothes were placed on the lovely body of our lovely Lord and placed him in a manger. For one soul, Joseph and Mary went down to Bethlehem and found a manger, and they laid their firstborn son in swaddling clothes and placed him in the inn. For one soul, he lived on earth for 33 years. For one soul, he was hated and despised and a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he was spat upon and rejected. For one soul, he was wrongly tried. For one soul, he was beaten with a cat of nine tails. For one soul, he had a crown of thorns placed on his brow. For one soul, he had a robe on his back, making him a mock king. For one soul, they beat him beyond recognition. For one soul, they put him on a cross. For one soul, they nailed him to that cross. For one soul, they slapped his face. For one soul, they cried and shouted and mocked him. For one soul, he was buried. For one soul, he rose again. For one soul, he ascended back to the right hand of the Father. For one soul, he sits on the right hand of God tonight. For one soul, he prepares a home in heaven. And for one soul, he's coming again. I am saying, look what Jesus did for one soul. What's it profit a man? He gained the whole world and lose his own soul. One soul, all of it. I want to remind you, it was just one man and one woman in this world who were unsaved when Jesus promised to come. Genesis 3:15, God said that the seed of woman would someday bruise the head of the seed of the serpent, and that promise was made when there was one man and one woman in the entire world. And if Adam and Eve could have been the only two people, Jesus would have come and lived and died and rose again. And if Eve had not gotten here, and Adam had been the only one, the Son of God would still have come and paid the penalty. Or if Adam had not gotten here, and Eve would have been the only one, he wouldn't have done it. Women's not worth that. Yes, he would. Yes, he would. Yes, he would. And add to that the things that God has made for man. Add to that the evergreens of Seattle, and the redwoods of Northern California, and the palms of Southern California, and the desert of Arizona, and the mountains of Colorado, and the park of Yellowstone, and add to that the lakes of Minnesota, and the rolling plains of Missouri, and the flatlands of the Midwest, and add to that the barren country of West Texas, and add to that the stately pines of Carolina. And add to that, the curving beaches and shore of the New England coast of the Atlantic Ocean. And add to that, all of the flowers that God has ever made, he made them that man might enjoy. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands. All sheep and oxen. That's given him about all sheep and oxen. Yea, the beast of the field. Listen. Every little bird that flies through the skies, God made it for man. Every fish that swims through the water, God made it for man. Every tiptoeing mountain stream that winds its way toward the ocean, does so for man. Every tree that lifts its leaves like an umbrella of protection for man, does it for man. Every time a little flower unfolds its petal, every time a daffodil brings its beautiful dress and places it on, God does it for man. I'm saying, there is nothing in this world as important as the soul of one man. What's it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? But the greatest proof of the value
of the soul of man is not found in the riches of the airline chains or the riches of the silver mines and gold mines and oil wells. If you want to find the greatest price tag placed on the soul of man and the greatest proof that man's soul is important, let me just give you in one little statement the greatest proof of the value of the soul of man. And here it is. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you stop and realize that God gave His only begotten Son for one soul, then you know something about the value of the soul of man. I usually reserve this for the Christmas season. I love the little story, and I just thought about it a while ago. I love the little story. It was Christmas Eve. It was in the city of London. A little boy, poor, holes in his shoes, patches on his trousers, frayed sleeves on his coat, no hat for his cold little brow, walked down the streets of London, England, one Christmas Eve night. He had no place to sleep. He had no chair to sit in or bed to lay in. He had no table to sit at. He had no food to eat. He had no Christmas tree. He had no presents, and Santa Claus would not come to see him. A little ragged boy walked down the streets of London, England, one night. He looked at one house and saw the sparkling Christmas tree through the window and heard the laughter of children as they opened their gifts. He went down to the next house and listened carefully. And from the house came, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. He heard the Christmas carols. He got his nose up against the window and saw the tree and all the presents under the tree. But there was no house for him, no bed for him, no chair for him, no table for him, no tree for him, no gifts for him, no Christmas for him. The little boy walked down the street. And finally, he got to sleepy. He had to go to sleep. He came to a store and a little alcove that where the window shit comes back in toward the door. And he walked inside and got up close to the door and tried to have the wind broken from him. And the little boy went off to sleep. Tears in his eyes as he did. He was awakened, looked up at an old man, tall and old, but a sweet look on his face. Looked down and said, Son, are you cold? Yes, sir. Are you hungry? Yes, sir. Do you have a mother and daddy? Oh, sir. Son, would you like to have a place to sleep tonight and a good Christmas tomorrow? Oh, yes, he said, I sure would. The old man said, listen carefully. He said, you walk down this street 3 blocks. You turn left and you go a block or two. He told him exactly how. And he said, you'll come to a street called Mulberry Lane. He said, you, when you come to Mulberry Lane, he said, you turn right. He said, you got it, son? 3 blocks this way. Left 2 blocks to Mulberry Lane. Turn right. He said, yes, sir. He said, then you come to 316 Mulberry Lane. And then knock on the door. And he said, somebody's going to come to the door. And he said, son, whoever comes to the door, don't you say anything but these words. Don't you tell him your name. Don't you tell him where you're from. Don't say anything but these words. You just answer every question with this word, this statement. John 3:16. You got that, son? 3 blocks this way, 2 blocks to the left, Mulberry Lane, turn right, go to 316 Mulberry Lane, and everything you ask is answered with John 3:16. Little boy ran down the street 3 blocks and turned left on this cold Christmas Eve night as he could hear the songs of the carols coming and echoing from the houses. He could smell the Christmas Eve meals. And he ran 3 blocks and turned left and 2 blocks turned right on Mulberry Lane. He came down, looked carefully at all the house, the numbers of the houses. It was hard to see, but he found 316. It was a two-story house. He walked up timidly and somewhat in disbelief and doubt and knocked on the door. 316 Mulberry Lane. This is a true story, by the way. The door opened and an older, white-haired, kind-faced man looked on him. He said, son, can I help you? Little barefoot boy looked up, or little poor boy looked up and said, John 3:16. And the old man said, son, who sent you here? And the boy smiled and said, John 3:16. And he said, "Son, what do you want?" He said, John 3:16. He said, "What right do you think you have to come here?" He said, John 3:16. The old man said, "You answered right. Come on in." The old man came and said, "Son, that tree over there, it's got some presents under it for you." He said, "Now, son, it's time for you to bathe." He said, "Would you like to take a bath?" And the boy said, John 3:16. And he went and got in a warm tub of water and had his first bath in weeks. And then the old man said, "Son, would you like to have some new clean clothes?" And the little boy said, John 3:16. And he put some nice clothes on his back. And the little boy felt so good. And then the man said, "Son, are you hungry?" He said, John 3:16. He said, "Would you like to have a big meal?" The little boy said, John 3:16. And he had a big meal with all the trimmings of Christmas Eve dinner. And oh, what a night he had. And then the old man said, "It's time now for the Christmas party." And they said, "Son, would you like to have a Christmas party?" He said, John 3:16. And the fellow said, "Which present you want?" The little boy said, John 3:16. And the fellow said, "Here's your gift, your gift." Yes. And he gave that little boy gifts. And he said, "Son, are you happy?" And the boy said, John 3:16. And then came time to go to bed. And the old man tucked the boy in the first nice, comfortable bed he'd been in a long time. And kissed him on the brow. And the little boy, before he went to sleep, said, "Oh, my, what a night." All because of John 3:16. Yeah. And one day I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to the face of the Lord. The Lord's going to say, "What's your name?" I'm going to say, John 3:16. I'm going to say, "You think you have a right to come in here?" I'm going to say, John 3:16. He said, what privilege you have in heaven?" I'm going to say, John 3:16. And then I'm never going to go to bed because it won't be any night there. And I'm going to say, washed in the blood of the Lamb, I'm going to say, "What a wonderful eternity," all because of John 3:16. No wonder God says, "He that winneth souls is wise." And yet how little we sell our souls for. How sad to hear David say, "No man cared for my soul." And the truth is, most ever unsaved person in Chicago, they would have to say that tonight. No man cared for my soul. Little boys and girls that would be saved if somebody cared for their soul have to say, "No man cared for my soul." You're too busy. You're too busy. Buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage and eating and drinking and picnic and frolicking. You haven't got time for souls, have you? That's okay. It's okay for the college preacher boys because they're going to go into this thing full time. But not me, buddy. I drive a nice, big, long car. Listen, you're as responsible for souls as the most rabid, zealous preacher boy in Hiles Anderson College. If this be true, the one most important thing is your soul. And if this be true, the most important thing for Christians to do is to reach the souls of men. For what should it profit a man if he gained the whole world? What is the whole world? Everything anybody's ever lusted for with this body. What is the whole world? Everything anybody's ever seen with his eyes that he wanted. What is the whole world? Anything everybody's ever wanted to become. Anything you've ever wanted to do. Anything you ever wanted to have. Anything you ever wanted to be. Wrap it all up in one package and add all the things I've mentioned tonight. And all of them together are not as important as that one little boy sitting over here on the end of the bench. Or that one little boy sitting over here. Or one of these bus kids over here. There's not a single one of you tonight that's not more important than all the riches of the world put together in the sight of God. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Did you know? Did you know that they have scientifically proved that man has a soul? They have actually weighed a man before he dies, and they've weighed him after he's dead. And I think they said, I'm not sure how much, I think they said that he weighed 23 grams less. I'm not sure that's it. But I do know this. I know when the soul's departed, I know the body weighs less. And I know this. I know that wise is the person who spends more time on his soul than does everything else in the world put together. And wise is the Christian who spends more of his life trying to reach the souls of men. I'll say this in close. I guess all of us, when we have birthdays, I guess we reflect. I have suddenly come to realize that I am nearer 60 than I am 50. That's pretty tough for a young whippersnapper like me to realize. But I guess we look back over our lives and wonder what might have been. I don't know what I could have done. I don't know. I don't know if I'd chosen to make money, if I'd be a millionaire tonight. I don't know. I don't know if I'd chosen the stage, if I could have been well known for that. I don't know. I don't know if I'd have chosen that contract that the Brooklyn Dodgers offered me to go to their farm team and try to work my way up to the big leagues. I do not know how far I'd have gone. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I'd gone in business, what I could have done, but often wonder what I could have done. But as I look back last night late over my life of 56 years, I couldn't help but thank God that whatever I could have done, I decided that souls are more important. I had a man offer me $100,000 a year just to let him use my name. Son, don't play with your cap. Folks are behind you there watching you. I was offered $100,000 a year for folks just to use my name in a business venture. That's all. Just didn't have to go to a meeting. Didn't have to work 1 minute. Just to use my name, $100,000 a year. I don't know if I could be rich or not. I have no idea. I think maybe I could have been. I'll tell you what. There's a heap of people up in heaven tonight because of the path I chose.